We're going to be in Ruth today. Everybody's giving me this look like, whoa, not the New Testament? What are you talking about? We're going to be in Ruth, going to try something different. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. It's way back there. And and so I wanted to go through this book, and I wanted to look at it for the characters and for the story and to see kind of what's going on. I know oftentimes when pastors will preach this book, they will go and they will do this around Valentine's Day. You know why? Because they're all enamored with the love story between Boaz and Ruth and how God fits into all that. And yeah, we'll get there. It is a love story, but there's a lot more to it than that. There's a lot of lessons here that the book of Ruth really brings out to us. And we're going to study right through this book. I don't anticipating it taking us too long, but we're going to go through the whole first chapter today. I mean, it's one of those books that I think we're going to get a lot out of, and we're going to see a lot of ourselves in even. And so if you'll read with me, Ruth chapter 1. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. And they were in the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law and to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husband? Turn back. My daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for that is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake, and the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods and return after your sister-in-law. So Ruth said, do not urge me to leave from you or return from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went. They went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. And I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So Naomi returned with Ruth the Moabite and her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. What an interesting start to a story. Things looked extremely bleak, right? Just horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Why do we even want to study this stuff? I mean, man, I've come to church today, and I just really need encouragement. I hope we find an encouragement today. I hope we can find encouragement in this story because of what God does through Naomi and through Ruth. And so when we look at this, it's kind of an odd story, right? You know, don't you think it starts off kind of oddly? I mean, think about what happens. So it says there's a famine in the land, and this guy, his name is Elimelech, okay, in the land of Israel, there's a famine. And we know this is the time period of the judges, so this is kind of setting our mind on what's going on. And I mean, if you've ever studied the book of Judges, the theme to the book of Judges is every man does that which is right in the sight of his own eyes, right? Somebody who's not following God or what we would call the sin cycle is happening over and over and over and over and over and over again. The book of Judges, so it starts off good with Joshua, and then we start into the book of Judges and the people sin. And so God delivers them over into the hands of their enemies. And the enemies oppress Israel. And the Israelites cry out to God. And God delivers them from their enemy. And they live in peace for a little while. And then they sin again. And God delivers them over to the hand of another enemy. And the enemy oppresses them. And this just keeps going on and on and on and on and on and on in the book of Judges. And this is the time period that we're talking about. And so if you understand that, when it says there was a famine in the land, you understand that Israel is not going through a time of blessing, right? That's really important. You know what that means, right? If Israel is not being blessed, what does that mean? They're being cursed. Now, in the end of the book of Deuteronomy, the children of Israel stand on two mountains, and one side they pronounce the blessings, and the other side pronounces the curses upon Israel. Right? If you obey God, you will be. If you don't obey God, you will be cursed. Okay. So this is the setting. So the setting of the book of Ruth, it starts out where people are not following God. There's a famine in the land. So Elimelech looks around. He says, you know what? Our crops aren't doing this so good this year. And I foresee the winter being long and it's going to be tough. And so might as well just get my family out of here, right? Man. For us, things don't go well in one place. We can just pick up and move, right? Well, you guys smiling at me. Just pick up and move. Just pick up and move. Well, that's what sometimes people do, right? They just pick up and move, go have a new start somewhere else, right? Yeah, I've been there. I've had a couple of cross-country moves in my life. But that's what was happening to Elimelech. Like only is different for Elimelech, right? You know why it was different for Elimelech? What was he leaving? His people? The promised land. When Joshua came in to the promised land and they defeated all their enemies, guess what they did? They divvied up the land and said, this is your inheritance. This is what God has given to you. And everybody had their plot. Everybody had their space. So Elimelech is giving up everything that God had given him, and he says, this is no longer good enough for me. I'm going somewhere else. In fact, I'm going to go over to the Moabites because they have food over there. Do you realize what Elimelech's move was saying? God is no longer meeting my needs, so I'm going to have to move. I'm just going to go somewhere else where I can have my needs met. It's not about me. It's not about me being a leader and getting things right. It's about God not meeting my needs, right? So Elimelech moves. He went somewhere where he was not supposed to be. He left the people of God. He left what he knew was right. And whether or not the people of God were acting like the people of God, he said, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going somewhere else. Then, so going somewhere else, he goes to a place where they don't worship God. They don't follow Jehovah. He gets there, and because he's left, he takes his family, and who do his sons have to marry? Moabite girls. Now, they don't follow God. They weren't supposed to do things like that, right? No. They were supposed to pick out girls from their own people, from the people who followed God, right? Everybody agree with me? Are we all on the same page? Interesting. I kind of wonder here if sometimes we don't end up in the same kind of position. I'm not saying that we're fixing to leave. I'm not saying that we're fixing to move out away from God's people, but do you ever find yourself away from God? And I sometimes wonder why that is. I wonder if maybe that we kind of carry the same idea that Elimelech said. Hey, I'm not getting fed here, and so I'm going to go somewhere else. The grass is greener on the other side. Yeah. Do we end up there? I had this experience this week. I went to a concert with my wife Thursday night, and I was listening to this band, and when I go to a concert, I don't go just to jump up and down and whatever. I actually go because I love music, and I like to see what the band is doing. And I when you go to a concert where they're at a church, then you're interested in see what the other people are doing and how they do it and why they do it, and you just kind of look around. I'm there to learn, right? And so this band that we watch, they tend to only play songs with a certain tempo. Okay, now if you listen to the songs at the same tempo all the time, at kind of a medium tempo, about like this, you know what happens? For me, I get bored. But they're a good enough band that, you know, they were able to vary their dynamics. I was kind of half interested. And I was there, and standing in one spot this week is not really good for me. So if you see me moving a little extra, not fat quickly, you know, this is why. My back started to hurt while I was standing there, and everybody else in the place is standing up, and some people have their hands raised, and some people are just bouncing around with the music and different things like that. And I thought, you know what? I need to sit down. And so I sat down. I thought, oh, this is better. And now I can't see anything because there are people standing in front of me. I'm like, oh, I really like these songs, but, you know, and in my mind, they're good. Everything's going well, but everything's being played at the same rhythm. And you know what? I'm kind of getting tired. I'm going to close my eyes. And so I close my eyes, and I'm sitting there, and the band's playing, and I didn't go to sleep, but I started thinking, and I started praying, which is when I'm in the middle of an event, I don't normally just start praying, and I started resting. You don't think about resting in the middle of a concert, right? But I was resting, and I realized that I'm sitting here, and I'm praying, and I'm communing with God. I'm at a concert, and it's like I am the only person in this whole room. And I'm like, this is awesome. Where has this been all my life? And you're looking at me now like, you are the most unspiritual pastor I have ever heard of. And I was realizing something. I was realizing that I have been distracted from God. And it's easy to get there, right? Are you relating with me? Yeah? Are you guys busy? Yeah? You got stuff going on? You got bills to pay? A house to heat? Family to take care of, maybe? Yeah, I just all of a sudden realized, you know, here I am. I'm supposed to be a spiritual guy, and all of a sudden, I'm just caught in the middle of this thing, and I realize what's going on, and I'm like, wow, this is different for me. All of a sudden, I'm quiet. I'm the only person around, and I'm in the middle of all these people, and the next thing I know, here's God. I can't explain it, but there it is. And I'm like, you know, the reason I'm not here all the time is because I'm distracted. And so I go home, and I find all those things that I'm distracted with. Kids, dogs, winter, hunting, football, other music. Can we start adding more of these things? Like food, responsibilities, cleaning the house, work. I'm distracted. I wonder if Elimelech didn't get distracted. I wonder if some of our deal is we're distracted. I was thinking, you know, it's been a while since I've actually just sat there and rested. And you might be looking at me thinking, well, Shannon, you didn't come to church last Sunday because you were down. I'm pretty sure you weren't moving around very far, and I wasn't. But I wasn't resting. It's bringing to me this idea of, you know, when we had an interesting talk this morning about the law, and the one came back, the Ten Commandments, you know, remember the Sabbath, and it's about rest. That's what it is. How many of us are actually really resting? And I'm way off from my sermon now, but how many of you take time, force yourself to be quiet and commune with God? Are you with me? And the whole time I'm sitting here at this concert, I start thinking about Ruth. And I had read it the week before, and I started really thinking about what is going on. I have, in a sense, moved away. I had not spent time communing like I need to. And so, there it is. You know, this is more than just reading the Bible. This is quiet time with God. This is more than just praying. This is resting in Him. Are you there with me this morning? Do you see your need? You see my need? It's extremely important. And I think what happens to us is illustrated by this story. We get distracted with whatever it happens to be, and we move away from God. The relationship leaves, and then we have more things happen, which distracts us even more, which, you know, bad things sometimes are meant to drive us to God. Situations are meant to help us to rely on Him even more. But what happens? We just get distracted. Whatever it is, it turns our focus away. I look at this and I'm thinking, what happened to in the life of Naomi? What happens in the life of Elimelech? Elimelech dies. His sons marry two daughters of Moab, people they're not supposed to be with. Not that they're Moabites, but that they don't follow Jehovah God. Then her sons die. And so here's Naomi in a time where, you know, she wasn't the person that went out and took care of things. That was Elimelech's job. That was Machlon and Chilion's job. They're the one to go out and provide for their families, take care of their mother. And they died. And so here's Naomi. She is now the leader of the household, and she's supposed to be taking care of things, and she's got these two other girls with her, and she's like, now what do I do? And she hears something. She hears about God's blessing back home. You know what? I'm not the person I used to be, but at least if I go home, I will get some food, right? She says, all right. She says, and every time I look at the name Orpah, I think Oprah. So if I kind of have a slip, same letters anyway, right? Orpah and Ruth are like, no, we're not going to leave you. We're not going to leave you. You know, we're going to go with you. And she says, no, look, she says, I can't have any kids and I can't give you husbands. I can't give you hope. Go back to your families. Go back to your gods. I'm done. Look at how far Naomi had gone down this path of life. She got so far that she's now hopeless. And she's only thinking sustenance. They have food back in Israel. I might as well go live alone and bitter in Israel. At least I'll be able to eat. And so she gets up. She goes. Tells her daughter-in-laws, hey, go back home. Orpah says, no. Ruth says, no. Naomi says, no, go back home. Orpah says, okay. And she goes back home. Ruth says, no, I'm going to cling to you. She says, I'm going to stay with you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Now, can you imagine what's going on here? Here you have a girl. I don't know how long Ruth had been with, I can't remember which of the boys was her husband, but one of them. How long that she'd been able to learn about Jehovah God. I don't know. But she just said, you know, no, Ruth, I'm going. Ruth said, no, Naomi, I'm going with you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. That's huge. That's huge. Now, here's Naomi, and she's got this Moabite woman tagging along after her, and she goes back to Israel. The whole town stirred up. Is this Naomi? And Naomi says, no, 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 I'm not Naomi anymore. I am Mara, bitterness. Just call me Mara. God has dealt bitterly with me, so I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to just bring on all this bitterness. I'm just going to live here. You ever met somebody like that? Have you ever been close to being somebody like that? That's not fun to be around. She's sitting and having her own pity party. And here, God is going to start working through this daughter, Naomi. Naomi didn't ask for God to bless her again. Naomi wasn't looking for God to meet her. I didn't realize that that's what I was looking for. To have a time where I, in the middle of stuff, that I was going to sit down and have a quiet time with God, even in the middle of a concert. But sometimes God does this for us, and He uses people in our lives. And it's so important for us as a church to be Ruth for those Naomis in our life, to cling to people, to bring them along. Some of us are in the position of Ruth or Naomi. And we need people in our life. As a church, this passage, I'm reminded of Romans chapter 12. And talking about how that, 12:1, it says, I always forget how to start this verse off. But Romans chapter 12, you start reading through the passage, and if I can get there, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are in one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ, let us, according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, a service in serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does not, who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. You think, well, how does this apply to what Elimelech, Naomi, Ruth, Malchon, Kilion, what they went through? How does this work? See, we don't get to where Naomi was if we're sacrificing ourselves to God. We're faced with God. By the mercy of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world. Don't take on the actions and attitude of the world around you. Don't pull in the Moabite girls. Don't take on the actions. Don't take on the bitterness. Keep yourself focused on God. But the second part of this is realizing, because we've all read that story, right? You've all read Ruth before. If you haven't, take 10 minutes and read it. But the next part is so important. It's the part where we have to be around people. We have to be around believers. I shouldn't just say people. We need to be around believers. We need to be around people who can encourage us. We need to be with people who can minister to us. We need to be with people we can minister to and encourage. I mean, that's who we are. We're the family of Christ. We're the body of Christ, right? Now, Ruth and Naomi, they kind of found their encouragement in an unlikely place in each other. And sometimes we have that. Sometimes we have people that will bring us along. But you know what? In our misery, when we get there, what happens to us? We just want to be left alone. That's what happens to me. Just leave me alone for a while. I'm going to go out and I'm just going to be away from everybody. And then I'm not going to have the people around to help me. I'm not going to have those around to encourage me. Sometimes it means even a slap upside the head, right? But we need each other. It's imperative that we meet together. Not just so we, it's not for, say, hey, look how many people we had in church today. It's not about that at all. When we miss this gathering together, we miss opportunities to minister. When we miss this, we miss opportunities to be encouraged. We miss the opportunities to pull somebody else along. You know, there are people this morning that are struggling. Struggling. We have real hurts. We have real needs. And it, as a body, you and me, it's our job to minister to each other. To be active as a group. to speak into each other's lives, to pray, and sometimes just to be there. So, what is it then that we need? If you're relating with me, if you're there with me, you've been distracted, maybe you've not realized how far away you are, maybe you realize you are far away from God. What is it that we need? We need repentance. God, help me. Help me to forsake all my distractedness and commune with you. God, help me to forsake the sin that's a part of my life and help me to follow after you. Help me to minister instead of striving to be alone. And this is something that is done not solely or not only individually. It's done with the group. You see, I've placed myself in a very vulnerable position. Hey, I got distracted. Now guess what? We get to talk with each other about being distracted. What that means for us. How it is that we can help each other. How it is that we can encourage each other. How it is that we can minister. And I'm asking you this morning, will you take on that responsibility of being a part of the family of Christ? Take on that identity as somebody who is helping. And maybe it is you're not in a place to help. Will you seek out help? Somebody to talk to. Somebody to pray with you. Somebody to help you focus. Get back to where God is. Where you need to be. This is the blessing. This is the encouragement of the book of Ruth. Because what we get to see God working in the life of somebody, Ruth, who didn't know him previously. We get to see God working in the life of somebody, Naomi, who had experienced what it's like to be in a place away from God and come back. We get to see God working among a people to, in the end, take a part of being the blessing of being in the literal direct lineage of Christ. Isn't that interesting? That even though we find ourselves sometimes away from God, that there is hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not the train. God does call us to follow Him. God does call us to communion with Him. God does call us together. And so I just leave it with you. Will you be a Ruth or a Naomi for somebody? Asking for help, or maybe not asking for help, but taking it. Getting back to where we belong. To cling to. Can we do that? Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we consider what it means, and Lord, I just pray that we are considering, help us to learn to meditate on the truths of your word. Because it's so difficult when we're distracted. It's so difficult when we have noise and we're focused on what's going around us. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be with you. Help us to have that time where we're focused on who you are. In the middle of whatever it happens to be, a famine, a concert, sickness, health, wherever we are, God, I pray that you'd help us to meditate on you and to be with you. But Lord, I pray that you would make us a people that relied on each other, that as we focus on you, that we're bringing people with us, that we can help others heal, that if we're hurting, we can find people to help us. And God, for those of us who are among us this morning that are hurting, that are troubled about a great many things, Lord, I just ask that you would be with them and comfort them. So many things that we can look at. And Lord, I just pray that you would make us a people that are encouragers. Make us a people who are there for each other, even if we don't say anything. Make us a people of prayer. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.